Eversource is appealing the decision by state regulators to reject the sale of its Aquarion Water subsidiary. The Public Utility Regulatory Authority, you may remember earlier this year, rejected the request by Eversource to sell Aquarion to the South Central Connecticut Regional Water Authority, citing that the sale would not be in the public's best interest. However, Eversource, the appeal, argues that state regulators did not have jurisdiction to reject that agreement. There's so much irony in what I just said, and so I want to talk about this with State Senator Tony Huang, who has been one of the many outspoken, opponents to this. There is a lot of bipartisan opposition to this at the state and local level, and we've heard it certainly from a lot of municipal leaders that they were against this on both sides of the aisle, all the way up to the Attorney General saying that this deal stinks. And Senator Huang, I know that you have been one of the leaders who has been continuously sounding the alarm about why this was not going to be a great deal for Connecticut ratepayers, but also it was going to impact towns and cities like a Monroe, where this is a heavy taxpayer right now. But you were also somebody, when this deal was rejected, who said, oh, Melissa, you think this story is over? It's just getting started. An appeal is coming, I could tell you right now. And here it is, Tony. What do you think about this?
Well, good morning to you, Melissa. Happy holidays. The appeal is absolutely not a surprise, but you said it. The irony is telling, because they're basing their appeal on the Connecticut General Statute that was passed in a rush of night, urgent special session vote in June of 2024, when most of my colleagues who supported that special session didn't even know about the bill. So there was really a lack of transparency, accountability, and due process. These are key words that have kind of surfaced over and over again when we deal with our utilities. And their argument was that based upon that statute that was passed in the dark of night with no transparency and accountability, that PURA no longer has the jurisdiction because of the state law from the Connecticut General Assembly. And that, to me, is very telling, because ultimately it is one of the main reasons why we oppose this deal, is the fact that the statute, and that was one of the roles that I talked about for us as legislators, to go back in with the start of the special session to revisit this statute, to open up the parameters to ensure that transparency, accountability, and due process is in place, and that the consumer's interest is served and protected by regulatory bodies. So the concerns that we cited were, one, the new statute, if it should be sold from a owner utility to a quasi-public, as this transaction is about to do, is that, one, it removes PURA or any regulatory relief or guidelines in regards to its rate setting, in regards to how it governs and manages itself. And that's one of the biggest questions.
Right, and that's kind of the parallel why I say it's ironic when you say state regulators don't have the jurisdiction to reject this kind of a deal. It's almost humorous, and I don't mean to like poke fun, but that's almost a humorous thing when you just outlined exactly why this was one of the many reasons there was so much concern, I'm going to say, about this potential deal, was that PURA was not going to be involved at all if it had gone through. There'd be no oversight, essentially.
None at all. And they can say that we have our internal governance, and that was one of the points the PURA said. We were extremely concerned about your governance structure. And for me, even though PURA didn't say it, I was really concerned in regards to the leverage financial package that was being leveraged here.
Well, because nobody knew what that looked like. And not even the Attorney General. He's like, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, if anything, he was throwing numbers out there and you know, I would say throwing Eversource under the bus a lot. He's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think this is going to cost people a bunch of money. They're going to get crushed. I don't see where the taxpayers, these towns like a Monroe, like I said, where they're making a lot of money right now off of what the current system is, they're going to lose that. And even though, again, the other side was saying, well, no, that's not the way it's going to be. There was never any concrete data backing up those claims not what it's going to be.
The quasi-public also, beyond the PURA regulatory guidelines and review, now allows that rate increases no longer goes through any regulatory body. That means there's a potential projection of 65% rate increases cost increase over a 10-year period that's kind of baked in, but we have no regulatory guideline to it. Number two, there is minimal property taxes in Easton as well as in Monroe, as you talked about money. It's about property taxes because they're one of the largest landowners. Now, under a owner utility, these are taxes. They're written into statute. Now, they're saying, RWA is saying that, no, we'll still pay taxes. No, they're paying payment in lieu of taxes.
And like, what is that? How much is that?
Right. and changes due to the winds of politics. So there is no guarantee, and that's why many of our municipal leaders are extremely concerned in regards to the stability of our tax base. Number three that doesn't get talked a lot about is the environmental impact in regards to water diversion, river protection. People forgot that it was over 2 years ago in which Aquarian made the decision and our municipalities agreed to divert hundreds of thousands of additional gallons of water to southwestern, lower southwestern, which would have run risk to environmental impact and our riverbeds on habitat. So for me, these are critical factors that needs regulatory relief. Now, Aquarian is saying that, no, well, you know, we might sell this to an out-of-state buyer. And I've repeated this. I don't care where the buyers come from, because people need to be reminded that the original owners of Aquarian before Eversource bought it was a foreign-owned English company. And they were wonderful stewards, paid their taxes, and had real, real regulatory compliance. So my point is, let's go back in legislatively. If they're using that as a basis, it's a motivation for us to go back in and say, changes and laws that are passed under the dark of night without transparency, accountability, and engagement always comes back. And I heard you earlier this morning, our marijuana laws, our housing laws that are now being implemented, all of these that are covered in the rush of night in a special session without due process, without public hearings, without letting people's voices be heard.
Right, is a problem. But also, Senator Wong, without the guarantee that you're going to actually reopen any of those laws and work on them. I mean, I think that is the most disappointing. I'm not saying that things should be rushed in the middle of the night. I'm not saying that you should drop the fact that you're going to sign a bill into law right before Thanksgiving. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And I don't even know when that's happening, by the way. But I'm not saying that is fair. But what I think could be a really good middle ground is some kind of guarantee that you are going to discuss it during the legislative session. And we don't see that. Police accountability, marijuana, online gambling, now the housing. I just don't see where we keep saying we've got a good foundation. We got a great framework. We at least got something passed. We got the ball rolling. Right. But then you stop the ball. We don't actually keep working on it. We don't actually reopen any laws or refix anything. We just say we passed it, we did it, great, and then we sort of move on and we go, well, there's all these other issues. Yeah, there are other issues, but we can't just pass stuff if we're not going to guarantee, you know, like, people's word is not enough. I'm sorry, but I think we've proven that people's word isn't enough. I need guarantee that we're going to reopen stuff and look at it and adjust it if it's necessary.
Melissa, I couldn't have put it any better. It's the arrogance of power. It's the arrogance of power, and it reinforces, unfortunately, the people's lack of trust in government, in that civic engagement really matters. So that's what the power and the refreshment was. When we battled UI and we got engaged, that people's voices were heard and restored trust. But unfortunately, you cited from the police accountability bill, from marijuana legislation that passed without any input from public health, public safety. It was only in the finance arena, our increasing gambling addiction and many other bills that are passed in the dark of night because of one party rule majority, that they get into a room and they make that decision, they have a special session. It undermines people's trust in government and representative viewpoints. So again, this is an example where you need to come back legislatively, bring out the transparency. I think it's only appropriate and necessary that we review this legislatively and make sure that the laws that we urgently pass in the dark of night, without any due process,
are looked
review
at
or transparency,
again. Absolutely.
Gets revisited.
Yes, I agree with you. Senator Wong, I appreciate you coming on, especially after hearing about Eversource's appeal, and we certainly will see what happens as that story continues to develop. Thank you for always making the time for the show. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.